Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
And like, you ever like when you're super tired and you're just like, you know, the wheels turn, but like slowly, like there's kind of cogs. And so I'm sitting there going like, and I'm starting to read it and I'm like, Cam Hayward doesn't play on the Jaguars.
Yeah. The internal wheels and synapses of Barry.
Yeah, exactly.
It's frightening like, to think about what's
Cam
going on.
Cam Hayward.
Yeah, I know.
Joe Mixon.
Yeah. And the issue is like, it's all gummed up with popcorn. Yesterday was free popcorn day here at NBC.
Classic Wednesday.
So anyway, it's all gummed up.
Think of your brain swimming around in a pool of diet soda as well.
It's probably.
You've had so much over the journey that it makes its way upward.
I would think so. Yeah, it's a mistake. Anyway.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Happy Friday and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Diet Soda brand Matthew Berry, Jay Crouch.
So listen, so that was probably my worst moment yesterday on the show. Like I'd stayed up all night.
Yeah, so we ran
writing. I stayed up all night writing Love Hate. I was exhausted. If you read my Love Hate column on rotoworld.com, of course, 100% free, I'm a company man, you'll see like it's heavily researched. By the way, it didn't post till late last night because it had to be legally vetted. Every single thing, because there's a lot of anti-Dan Snyder stuff in there, and he can be litigious. Literally, like, we had to vet every... Anyway, it had to go through NBC Legal. My point is, I finally do all that, right? And so it's highly recommended. I think you'll really enjoy the column. You guys should read this. But, like, so I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And so I'm like, whatever, a brain fart, right? That was my bad moment.
Sure.
And then you go and reread the Love Hate. You read the Love Hate, and... I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. I had Geno Smith and Zach Charbonnet on my hate list. We did the Love Hate show yesterday. We mentioned both guys on the hate list as well. And so anyway, I just wanted to make that statement. I put out this tweet last night. I put Geno Smith and Zach Charbonnet on my hate list this week. I will be taking no further questions. Please respect my family's privacy at this difficult time. And what does the show do? The show throws me under the bus by showing my worst moment from yesterday. And then here you go. And I was Googling just some examples of apology statements.
Yeah.
Just, you know, some good professional apology statements.
Cowboys could use Cam Hayward on their defense last night.
Right.
Maybe you could have put him on their defense instead. Maybe they could have stopped Zach Charbonnet.
Just a bad 24 hours for me is what
your
it is,
publicist
guys.
Is working overtime.
Oh, God. Yeah. I really should hire a publicist. I need a crisis. I need a crisis management publicist. Is what I need. You know.
You know who doesn't need a publicist though, Matthew?
Who's that?
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott
does not. Let's play the talking.
Yeah, him and DK Metcalf. There are a lot of people that that absolutely need that. But real quickly, before we get into Dak and DK, just to finish up this apology. So I just want to take a moment. So I was Googling that. I was Googling like professional apologies right there in terms of and so while we'll be taking no more questions, I will officially apologize to everyone out there that read Love Hate yesterday, everyone that watched this show yesterday, that sat Geno Smith and or Zach Charbonnet based on my advice. I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, apologize to you and specifically to our friend Kira. Kira drinks free today at the happy hour. And you're like, who's Kira? And I'll tell you. So Kira's an old friend of mine. She used to work at ESPN. We both worked there back in the day. And she's also very good friends with our friend Danielle. Danielle is a suit here at NBC. She's a muckety muck. She's one of the big shots here. But we like Danielle because she's not a suit. She's like a good suit.
Yes.
Anyway, so we really like Danielle. And so the three of us and Danielle and Kira were on a text chain last night. This is finally a text chain that I got invited to, probably because it got started by Danielle. And I'll
never
bastards.
Be invited again, by
right,
the way.
Yeah, YouTube bastards. Yeah, exactly, because you guys keep me out of the text chain. But Danielle, because we like Danielle, Danielle puts me in the text chain, which ultimately turned out to be a mistake because she's like, hey, Kira has a question. And so Kira wanted to know, she's trying to decide between Minshew and Geno Smith. Yeah. Where should I go? And she's like, and she literally says, I'm thinking, Minshew's gotten me nothing the last couple of weeks. I'm sick of Minshew. I think I want to go Geno Smith. And the three of us, individually, collectively, all said, no, Kira, do not do this. We all think you should start Minshew and not Geno Smith.
Well, no pressure, Gardner Minshew. Yeah, no pressure at all.
The good news is that there's a 0% chance Gardner Minshew is going to throw for 334 yards and three touchdowns.
Right.
So there's absolutely no way it can work out.
So anyway, the text chain last night is completely blowing. Finally, I'm in a text chain with Jay and Connor, and it's all just about, you know, it's just MFing us because, rightfully so, because...
She was not pleased.
Well, why would she be?
Understandably.
Obviously so, because Geno Smith keeps throwing dime after dime, touchdown after touchdown, racking up fantasy points on Kira's bench. And so, anyway, I apologize to Kira and to every single person that went through that last night. It was just a bad day at the office for your boys here. I'll be taking no further questions at this time.
Okay. Tough scene.
Tough scene. Well,
I guess, you know what my favorite
part
is?
But I just want to own it. Like whatever. If you do stuff like you victory lap Tank Dell or whatever, then you have to, like, you have to say, like, listen, I'm raising my hand and just say, like, that was a bad effing call by me.
Yeah. My favorite part is when Kira started to text Geno's stats throughout the night to prison. I'm aware. I'm watching him throw these bomb touchdowns to DK Metcalf.
Like live tweeting the game.
Yeah.
Man, we'll have some good news.
But just to us. Just to the three of us and poor Danielle. The positives are Kira is in first place in her league. So I think she'll be okay.
And the good news is Danny Carter will be joining us at the end of this segment. Just
really?
To kind of cheer you up.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Good news or news?
Yeah, no, it's good news.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just to watch, you know.
Fantastic.
See how Danny shows up, what shirt he's wearing, what he has to say, how he pissed Matthew off further.
It's, it's not like I recommended starting Deontay Johnson.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. Denny.
All right. Before we get to Denny, let's get into the Roto World player news, and we will stay right there with Cowboys and Seahawks. If you didn't know, Geno Smith had 334 yards, three touchdowns. As Jay said, he also had the rushing touchdown as well. Big night for Geno Smith, aided by DK Metcalf, who had 134 yards and three touchdowns, Jay. Just a monster night for this duo.
Yeah, it was incredible. DK hit the fastest speed that anyone has hit this season on that touchdown run, and it certainly looked like it. Or Deron Bland. That's just a perfect throw as well. I'm not sure there's that much Bland could have done about that one. There was some stuff that he could have done about all the other times he got burned. Deron Bland's not going to win Defensive Player of the Year this season anymore. But the Seahawks, and this is going to get a little bit lost in the wash just because of Dallas winning the game and Dak MVP, which we'll get into. But I thought Geno Smith was magnificent in this game. I think this is the best game he's played ever in the NFL. And it's just kind of going to get washed over because they lost.
Yeah, he absolutely played well. Give credit where credit is due. The other thing about Bland, and we've talked about this, like, Bland gambles a lot. They play a lot of man, and he gambles a lot, and sometimes the gambles pay off, and he gets a pick six, right? And it's one of the reasons why he's got this crazy pick six record. But there's also times where stuff like that happens, where he gambles and he loses, and then the DK Metcalfs of the world are off to the races.
Yeah.
And I think that the takeaway of that, other than just like, hey, hopefully you start DK Metcalf, is that. If you have players on reasonably good offenses facing the Cowboys, I think there's this thought, oh, the Cowboys, like, you know, they're this amazing defense.
Because Micah Parsons.
Parsons and Lawrence.
We did end
the
game,
whole thing.
But...
Right, yeah, but I don't think you need to be scared of the Cowboys defense as a matchup when it comes to fantasy.
No, particularly, I mean, they have games upcoming against, I think the next 3 weeks are against A.J. Brown, and then Stephon Diggs, and then Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and then after that it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, those guys just start them as normal, because they showed last night that you can pick on Deron Bland, Jordan Lewis in the slot, it's not like he's a great weapon. Stephon Gilmore is fine, he's good, he's a good cornerback, but he's not Stephon Gilmore Defensive Player of the Year anymore. And so it's all about just can Parsons and Lawrence get home, because if they don't get home, then all of a sudden those guys can create separation.
Yeah, and back to your point, Jay, about maybe Geno's best game we've ever seen from him. What does today look like if Tyler Lockett catches that ball at the end, too? That was a perfect anticipation throw. So even some of Geno's incompletions were absolute brilliant. Monster night for Geno Smith with 30 fantasy points, and we'll see if anybody can top that going into the weekend, Matthew.
Yeah, look, and that's the other thing is to say we're going to go through this game, but just a monster fantasy game on both sides of the ball, just awesome fantasy stats. But, like, you get in there and there's a chance that you're heading into Sunday morning. We'll talk a lot about this more fantasy football pregame on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern on Peacock and the NFL and NBC YouTube channel, My Company Man, where you may be down big heading into the weekend, or you may be up big, and that should influence how you set your lineup. Like, you know, if you're up big, if you had Metcalf and Lamb or something like, which you easily could have, like, and you're up going into the league, like, you can be more safe and more floor plays. If you're down by a lot, like, I'm in one league where it's me and a bunch of guys that we all work together at ESPN. It's all my ESPN buddies. B. Rubes is in it. Stupid B. Rubes is in this game.
Is Damian in this?
Damian's in it. Producer Damian. By the way, Producer Damian put up 90 in this league because he's got, like, Metcalf and Dak Prescott, and I think he's got either Pollard or something. But I looked at it. He's literally up 97 to nothing. He had three guys in this game. And I'm playing like, and I'm in fourth place, but I've had some injuries. I'm like second in points. I've had some bad scheduling luck. But anyway, I need to win to keep only four teams make the playoffs in this league. And I'm playing against the second to worst team in the league, who had DK Metcalf. So I'm down 37-0 to this crappy team that's been brutal all year, you know, and I'm still projected to win, but, like, it's going to be a lot tighter than it should be. And I'm annoyed about that. I'm annoyed. But anyway, so the point is, Brian Rubin, by the way, don't get me started on B. Rubes. Brian, former producer Brian Rubin, now with the NHL, and he used to work with us at ESPN.
Yeah, he got up out of here.
Oh, but B. Rubes,
Connor McDavid.
B. Rubes' team is entirely love hate, which is basically all of, like, me and Damian's players. Like, okay. It's unbelievable. Like, he picked one spot ahead of me. He screwed me the entire draft. He's in first place. He's like 17-1 in this league because we play two games a week. It's a whole thing. Anyway. B. Rubes. Anyway, back to DK Metcalf. He was good.
He was
cool. Well, for as good as the.
The point of that, tangent
where
aside,
are we going?
There was a point.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Which is just, that I do actually think that the moves you make free agent wise and lineup wise need to be influenced by this game because there were such massive point totals. And whether you are up big or down big, I think there's a very good chance that you have a situation that you normally wouldn't have heading into Sunday morning. And I think you can start thinking through that.
Yeah, so if you're down big going into the weekend, and look, this guy's injured, but you would look for the Rashid Shaheeds of the world, some guys who can go for 120 yards and a touchdown, as opposed to playing your floor players, your Chris Godwin types.
Yeah, A.T. Perry. A.T. Perry could have a monster game. He could also be 2 for 24.
Yep.
But that's a guy, like, you want those wide, if you're down big, you want those wide variance players versus, you know, here's a guy that's just going to get you, you know, 5 for 50.
Yep.
Every single week.
Good relevant example from you, Matthew, as opposed to my example of a player who's not going to play Rashid.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Very good.
One
more
note. But it inspired the AT Perry. Because when you said Asian Rashid, I was like, oh, let me think about somebody in that same game, but that will play.
Yes. Well played.
One more note on the Seattle passing game. Nice night for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Good call, Jay. You went over his receiving total, which was in the low 40s. He ends up with 62 yards. So Jay's best bet hits on JSN, who is starting to really turn the corner here, guys. While Lockett has been trending downward the last couple weeks, things are looking good for the first-round rookie.
Since their Week 5 bye, he's averaging over 10 fantasy points per game. He's averaging basically 50 yards a game. I like the fact that he got 11 targets in this one and almost a 30% target share. It was his second highest in a game so far this year. By the way, had like a 35-yard touchdown called back, which was the right call.
Yep.
They called it a touchdown on the field. It was, you know, the ball moved when it hit the ground. But the fact of the matter is that's a bang-bang play that, you know, in another – we all like JSN's talent. That easily could have been a touchdown. So his nate could have been even bigger.
Yep, and he's had 36 receiving yards at least in 8 straight games. 11 targets, as you mentioned. That's the highest target number of his career. The previous high was 7. And he just looks more involved in the offense. He looks more comfortable out there, and the talent is really shining through. I think somewhat at the expense of Tyler Lockett a little bit, who didn't have his best night last night. So JSN on a team that you'd expect is going to have to be throwing going forward, particularly with their next two games. Like, San Francisco's next week, that's brutal for everyone involved. But then Philadelphia after that, that's kind of a dream fantasy matchup because not a great pass defense, and Seattle will be underdogs.
Well, and by the way, specifically, like, again, I think you can throw in the slot certainly against the Eagles, right? And then they're at Tennessee, home to Pittsburgh, at Arizona. So this kind of lines up either, I think the rest of their lineup, San Francisco being the one exception here, but they're going to have to throw against the Niners. And the Niners have given up some, you know, a decent amount of wide receiver receptions, and they'll probably be focused on trying to stop Metcalf. So it's one of those things. It's the rest of the lineup either, like, just good matchups overall or good matchup for the slot for the majority coming up. So I could certainly see JSN becoming, you know, wide receiver three with upside kind of down the stretch here.
And this is someone who didn't really play his final college season. So the fact that he's turning the corner in the second half of his rookie season makes a lot of sense. Good things ahead for JSN. Over in the Dallas passing game, we said it, big night for Geno, also a big night for Dak. Completes 29 of 41 passes, 299 yards, three touchdowns. He also had seven carries for 22 yards, big run at the end. Jay, I mean, Dak Prescott legitimately in the MVP conversation now.
Yep, no, he is right there. And, I mean, he was magnificent again last night. He's just in such a zone at the moment. And what to me stands out, one, the accuracy, but just his mobility as well, these designed runs. We talked about in the preseason that it kind of disappeared from Dak's game. But this is just the healthiest and the most spry that he's looked since he broke that ankle in such gruesome fashion. He looks like he is better than he's ever been. And in terms of the MVP, I mean, like, Jalen Hurts is the favorite to win MVP right now. You know why Jalen Hurts is the favorite to win MVP? Because MVS dropped a pass and Gabe Davis ran the wrong route. If those two plays go differently,
right.
Jalen
and
Hurts
Luke Schoonemaker's knee hits, you know, a nanosecond before the ball crosses the goal line.
Exactly. And I think, look, MVP is so tied to who gets the one seed and who has the most wins. I just think that is just such an antiquated way to look at this award. Let's focus on what the quarterbacks can actually control themselves. And Dak Prescott, the way he is playing right now, like, he's first in the league in QBR. Hurts is seventh. He's second in the league in passer rating. Hurts is 12th. EPA per play, Dak is second. Hurts is 7th. Hurts has 13 turnovers. Dak has 6. Like, there's just no argument for Jalen Hurts outside of wins. And Hurts should get a lot of credit for how he's played in the clutch, and he's having a good season. But the other thing, too, with Hurts is that, so in terms of expected points added, 17% of Hurts' value on the season has come from the tush push, which I think he should get credit for because he's a big part of why that play works. But so is Kelsey in the offensive line of the Eagles.
Sure.
So I think on merit, I mean, I'm higher on Brock Purdy than most. I would have Purdy and Dak as the two best MVP guys because they have the best stats. But Dak is right there. And Dak, he will be the favorite in everyone's eyes if he beats Jalen Hurts on Sunday Night Football next week.
It's gaining a lot of traction, too. Dak was asked about it right after the game, and we got to hear from him on being in that MVP combo.
No difference when they're hating me. And calling for me to my position. Honestly, I'm blessed. I'm super blessed. And you know, I think about that each and every day that I wake up. I'm grateful for that opportunity to do that. And I go and attack the day that I understand nobody's opinion defines me. And that's the great part about life. And that's the great opportunity that we all have. That people can say whatever they want. But you know, I have the pen, I have the paper, and I'm the one writing. So. Because I'm playing as well as I am now, doesn't mean that I'm going to stop, doesn't mean I'm going to listen to them now, appreciate them, but I don't care about their opinions right now any more than I did when they said that, you know, when they're calling for my spot.
So, first off, everyone's opinions make me, for you know, like, he's like, no one's opinion, I'm the anti-Dak Prescott. The other thing is Connor, we got to love that jacket.
I love that jacket.
He looked great jacket. There. MVP jacket. I'll give you another case, I think, just a narrative-based case for you on Dak, because I agree with you. I mean, like, he's played as well as any quarterback in the NFL over the last 5-6 weeks. If the Cowboys continue having the season they're having, and again, they're going to need to beat Philadelphia. That's a huge game, right? But if they do, and they end up with the one seed, they're going to want to honor this team somehow. This team is one of the elite teams in the NFL, and they're going to want to honor this team. I don't think there's any way McCarthy wins Coach of the Year.
No.
Like, there's no way. Like,
he's got a stench.
He's got, right. People think they're winning in spite of him. They'll give credit to Dan Quinn, whatever. Too much talent. Like,
there's better stories.
There's better stories out there. He's not great with the media, McCarthy. You know, it's just McCarthy's never winning Coach of the Year. So now you're like, okay, it's either MVP or Offensive Player of the Year for CeeDee Lamb. Right, my guy Ates, and he made a strong case there. But I think that assuming he continues on the path that he's on, you have to honor Tyreek Hill somehow.
Yes.
And so now you're like, okay, well, if Tyreek Hill's winning Offensive Player of the Year, and I think I assume he's the favorite. I haven't looked there. But
he and McCaffrey are neck and neck, right. And I disagree with that. Tyreek should be the clear favorite.
Tyreek should be. But my point is, it's probably going to be one of those two guys.
Yep.
So then you're like, okay, right? And if Dak loses to Philadelphia, then you probably don't have an argument there. But if Dak beats Philadelphia, my question to you, Jay, is what happens if Brock Purdy goes out and beats Philadelphia this week?
Well, that's the great mystery in all this, because Brock Purdy, if you just look at his statistically, he's the clear MVP, even with Dak's numbers. Like, I read out that Dak was second in a lot of these stats, like passer rating, EPA. Brock Purdy's first. Brock Purdy, if Brock Purdy's name was Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, right, he would be the runaway MVP favorite, because it's Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft, doesn't have a massive arm, he had those bad picks against
Shanahan robots.
Yeah, Shanahan, oh, he's got all these skill position players. Like, we need to reassess how we look at Brock Purdy's supporting cast, because Brock Purdy, his offensive line isn't any good outside of Trent Williams. The rest of the line is bad. He faces pressure. They have the 28th ranked pass protection grade by PFF. Like, he is doing this in spite of his offensive line. His skill position players have come in and out, but there is just a barrier with people with Purdy. I think that barrier will go away if he beats Philadelphia this weekend and then beats Baltimore on Monday Night Football in a couple of weeks. But you just never know if people are like, oh, I can't vote for Brock Purdy. Whereas I do feel good about voting for Dak Prescott. So it's
Dak
interesting.
Dak Prescott's he's a more famous guy. It's a sexier name, if you will. And yes, there is you're going to want to honor the Cowboys in some way, shape, or form. So both guys are really interesting as well. But bringing it back to fantasy here for a second, I mean, I don't know that there's really any takeaways here. The two takeaways, I think, CeeDee Lamb doing CeeDee Lamb things, my guy Ates, you know, just continuing to crush here. But, I mean, I think what's really impressive here is another great game for Brandon Cooks. Since week six, he's a top 20 fantasy wide receiver on a fantasy points per game basis, right? He's averaging almost 15 fantasy points per game since week six. This is Brandon Cooks. He scored in 5 of the 7 games so far, at least 16 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4. This offense is rolling so well, and it's clearly it's Lamb and Cooks. Like, Michael Gallup isn't even a thought here as well. And how about Jake Ferguson, who has also scored in 4 of the past 6 games? He leads all tight ends in terms of red zone targets this season. Like, he's such a big part when they get in close, and they just look for him as well. Anytime he's seen at least 4 targets a season, he's averaging over 12 fantasy points per game. Jake Ferguson, I think Brandon Cooks and Jake Ferguson are both basically must start. Ferguson's absolutely a must start.
Is Ferguson,
I think Cooks
kind
is
of a star at this point? Like, he looks the part out there, and well, he's jawing with Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
He just gives them a different element to the offense, because it's a weird thing to say, but otherwise the receiving core, they're kind of just small. A little bit like CeeDee Lamb's a massive guy. Cooks is small. And just Ferguson, just with his height and his power, he just kind of gives them an extra element that they really need. And Dak Prescott has always loved throwing to his tight end.
Correct.
So he's got that connection with Ferguson.
He embarrassed Jamal Adams in that red zone play.
Oh,
it was awesome. Yeah.
I would have been terrified. I would have backed down very quickly from Jamal Adams.
After a brutal start to the season, Tony Pollard also continues his run as well. Tony Pollard, anytime touchdown, that cashes, which is nice as well. 23 touches, which are the most in a game since week 3. We thought Rico Dowdle would get there. Saw a little bit of Rico Dowdle, but not enough as well. So it's a tough upcoming schedule for Pollard, but you certainly feel a lot better about him than you did a month ago.
You do feel better at the usage, but I don't know about you, Connor. He just doesn't look right to me. He's not making guys miss. He's getting like one tackle and down.
He's getting a nice run downhill runner this year, and then that outside explosiveness. Yeah, I agree, Jay. I think that the usage will carry you. Like, there's only so many running backs that are in a good offense like this that get this usage. But it definitely feels like you have to question the workload a little bit. And
he dropped the touchdown pass as well. That was right there.
Yeah, exactly. But they are starting to use, but the fact that he got that look is great. Yep. And he did catch 3 balls. So the fact that he's actually starting to get more involved in the passing game, which is weirdly didn't feel like they were using him that much early in the season. But to your point, like, he's gotten 23 goal to go carries this season. He scored on 3 of them. Like, that's bad. 3 for 23 is bad, right?
He's scoring
13%. Like, is his rate. So you're right. Again, I'm just saying, like, he was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you're past the trade deadline in most leagues as well. Fantasy-wise, he was bad at the start of the season. He's at least starting to turn this into production as well. I don't think he's going to be the top 5 guy you drafted him in as, but he's absolutely a usable starter, and hopefully volume continues to get him there. But I agree with you. I don't know if it's the extra weight or it's the off the injury or just he isn't built to be this guy without Zeke there taking a lot of the workload, but it has not been the year we all expected for Tony Pollard. But still, you're happy with 17.3 fantasy points today.
Our final running back note and final note from this game, Zach Charbonnet, 19 carries, 60 yards. He gets the touchdown. Towards the end of the game, he has that 39-yard reception, and then he leaves with the knee injury. It's being reported as a bruise right now, which I think is the best news on this we could have gotten rather than any kind of tears. But Charbonnet looked powerful and extremely effective for the most part before leaving this game, guys. Obviously, he got stopped on the fourth down, but that was a brutal play call, by the way, by Seattle.
Tough play calls on fourth down for Seattle.
Just
I mean, it cost them the game.
Dallas front. But
With
Kenneth Walker down, I mean, Charbonnet is going to get a lot of work, and we'll see how that is going forward, unless it's DJ Dallas now.
10 days until they face the 49ers, so hopefully Charbonnet gets healthy, and maybe hopefully Ken Walker does as well, and so we'll break this out. Yes, I was annoyed with that 39-yard reception because my bet yesterday was the under on 74.5 yards from scrimmage, and it was looking good up until that 39-yard reception, and then there you go. So in addition to, you know, Geno going off and Charbonnet going off and getting into the end zone. Like, anyway, just
not a great night for unders. Bad day
at the office for your old boy Matty here.
Yeah, not a good night for unders in the fifth game ever where a team didn't punt? It was a Sunday night game that migrated its way to Thursday night somehow. It was good.
Unbelievable. Like, every over hit. Yep. Every over hit. Like,
I appreciated that Al Michaels, since he couldn't be mad at the actual football game for once, just scorched earth the refs.
Yes.
There were a lot of flags. Justifiably.
Yeah.
It was a Cleve Blakeman game. I mean, what do you expect?
A lot of flags. It was brutal. Yeah. Yeah. It was brutal. I just got an alert. They just called two more penalties in that game.
You're going to adjust it?
Yeah,
that makes sense. Take some yards away from someone.
Probably.
All right, let's take a look at the injuries we're tracking going into the weekend. We got two full screens here for you. It's been that kind of week. Keenan Allen did not practice. Rashid Shaheed did not practice. Same with DTR with concussion. We are heading towards a Joe Flacco real football game in 2023, folks.
Yes.
Dalton Schultz with the hamstring didn't practice. Sorry, Jay. Pop Douglas in concussion protocol. He didn't practice. Here's two big ones, and people have been watching Aaron Jones this week. He still hasn't practiced. Jaden Reed with a chest injury, he didn't practice. Our last DMP, Hollywood Brown with the heel. But back to Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon has been limited with the groin. Tyreek Hill's just he's going to be fine.
I'm not worried about Keenan Allen just yet as well, but the Schultz, Aaron Jones, Jaden Reed, are those the ones that sort of pop up? Just before we went on air, Jonathan Gannon saying the expectation is that Marquise Brown is going to play.
Okay.
They've been working on him, but they, trending towards playing Hollywood Brown and Trey McBride as well, who you see there. He was limited with a groin yesterday.
Chris Olave is the interesting one to me because we all thought that he just kind of wouldn't play because he got concussed and he dealt with concussion last year, but he's gotten two limited practices in, so. And also in a game that they really need to win against Detroit, I wonder if he's able to get through concussion protocol and play.
Yeah.
And while we've been recording, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is saying Devon Achan, who is on the screen in front of you with a knee injury, he's expected to return. So a lot of limited tier. Mostert, Trey McBride, Amari Cooper, Kareem Hunt, Tank Dell. Talked about Olave, we talked about Achan. Noah Brown, A.J. Brown, and T. Higgins, all limited. But a lot of these guys starting to trend in the right direction. We'll see what happens with them on Friday's practices.
And, of course, Higgins plays the Monday night game. So, in essence, you know, when you see a Thursday practice, it's really Wednesday. Yeah. Exactly. So we'll see more about Higgins today and Saturday, but it'd be nice to get him back for that Monday night game. So we'll see.
A couple more notes. Jaguars head coach Doug Peterson, he said Travis Etienne is day-to-day with a chest injury. Aaron Rodgers was not spotted Thursday after he was limited in practice on Wednesday. ESPN's Rich Cimini reports Rodgers is not close to being game ready. Now, while Rodgers was throwing Wednesday and not spotted at practice Thursday, he was spotted with the season ticket employees making calls and selling tickets and giving away tickets. So from Wednesday, where he was throwing,
This is him on Wednesday.
Yep.
Look at him in the red jersey.
Yep.
He's throwing.
Nice tight spiral.
Yeah, very tight spiral. Good. By the way, this has not been slowed down. This is This is real time.
Yeah. Deron Bland is just dying somewhere to jump this ball or have it go over his head. We don't know which yet. Flip the coin. And then here is Thursday where Rodgers.
This one is in slow-mo this time.
This one is in slow-mo. But on Thursday, like we said, he was making calls to people in need of tickets or season ticket holders. Working
you're living
overtime.
In the city now? What part? Have you been to any games this year yet? Is that the only one? So you're 1-0 going to games. Obviously, we need to find a way to get you back. How do we do that? Do we have to offer you some free tickets or what? I don't know if I'm authorized to do that just yet. How many need for this week? I can get them a couple tickets. I got a couple extras. I'll get you two tickets. How's that?
There you go. There's Aaron Rodgers begging people to come to the Jets games as well. That's very similar. We don't ever put a camera in it, but it's very similar to what we do with Denny Carter asking people to tune into the show. Poor Denny, you know, like every morning has to do like an hour of calls. Just, you know, hey, we're coming up on Peacock.
We're on Peacock.
Yeah, just, you know. you know, or you listen to Sirius XM channel 85, or
watch on YouTube.
Yeah,
at 5 PM.
You watch it on YouTube later, or you know, wherever you get your podcasts, whatever.
Two men who hate the spotlight.
Yes.
Danny Carter and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Actually, correct.
They just can't get enough of it.
Is factually correct? Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers isn't playing this year. It's not happening.
No, he's not. So
can you? I wish we could bet on that. Can you?
You can. You can bet on DeMar Hamlin to win Comeback Player of the Year.
Right.
Because Rodgers is the only guy who's going to beat him, and Rodgers isn't going to play.
Yeah. This is factually correct.
Can you win it in the same season?
I don't know. Also, even
doesn't
if
he feel like a candidate next year?
Also, even if he did come back, and he's not coming back, but if he did, it's like, all right, well, Aaron, you're limping around on a 5-9 team as an ego trip. Like, that's not going to beat. That's not going
to.
Right.
Just to beat up on the Commanders?
Exactly. That's not better than coming back from the dead.
The dead. Yes.
Right.
Only two people have come back from the dead, Matthew, and we're still talking about the other guy 2,000 years later. So I reckon DeMar Hamlin might win Comeback Player of the Year.
I see what you did there.
Our last note here, the Cardinals waived tight end Zach Ertz, you know, hoping he can catch on with a contender. So it remains the Trey McBride show for the Cardinals. This was broken by J.J. Watt, by the way. I want to give him some love for the insider report. He out-scooped the guys that do it full-time.
The scoopers.
Yes. Tough scene for them. J.J. Exactly. Watt. Just,
yeah. Sources say. Probably Zach Ertz himself. Texted
J.J. Watt and said, I asked for my release, and they're going to give it to me so I can catch on somewhere.
We don't know about the injury, but Ertz was productive prior to being released by the Cardinals as well. Could a reunion in Philadelphia make sense? Like, I mean, you know, be it really interesting. I'm trying to think who needs a tight end that's like a, you know, that's a real contender.
Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, the Baltimore Ravens could be interesting. Yeah, I mean, they have Isaiah
Is
Likely.
Is he better than Isaiah Likely right now? Serious question. I'm not even being a jerk.
Yeah.
Possibly. It's worth finding out. Why not? Just get another guy in the room.
Yeah,
also insurance in case Isaiah Likely gets hurt.
I mean, if you're Miami, who's getting nothing out of Durham Smythe, do you say...
Miami's a fun one.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, again, like, we don't need you to be fast, but give Tua somebody to look at in the red zone? I don't know.
Honestly, the Chiefs should just run two tight end sets with Ertz and Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
Because
now you're talking.
Nobody else in that offense really
matters. Ertz can catch.
Mahomes might be back in the MVP combo after a couple of games with Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll see. That's interesting.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what time it is, guys.
Oh, is it Denny time?
It's Denny o'clock.
It is Denny time. Denny Carter is joining us for the regression.
Put down the headset. Stop begging people to watch the show. Now you're going to be on our show.
I'm working it, man.
Jay-Z looks good today, Denny.
Yes, Denny, you look very comfortable. I feel like a hot cup of tea is in front of you somewhere.
Yeah, I have my smoking jacket on.
Yes.
You know, it's December. You know, you waited all fall for me to wear my sweater, Matthew. I am wearing it. It's making me feel better after I benched all my Seahawks per your advice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, sure.
You get nothing.
I'll tell you, Denny. First off, specific to you, it's for Deontay Johnson. Everyone else I apologize to, but for you, serves you right. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, I did. Ha ha! Take that!
Denny joins us for the regression files. Players who are overproducing or underproducing based on their workload, playing time, opportunity. Of course, you could read the regression files on NBCSports.com. Denny, let's start with a negative pick going into the weekend. Who do you got for us?
I hate to do this, and by hate, I actually do love to do this. I'm going to throw some cold water on the Rashee Rice hype train that has taken off after his big outing against the Raiders, 107 yards and a touchdown. Look, you know, Mecole Hardman was out, Kadarius Toney was out, Jerick McKinnon was out. They didn't really have a choice. Sky Moore is struggling with a knee injury. Okay, so he was seen on the sideline with a knee wrap. So Rashee Rice was the only game in town besides Travis Kelce, and Rashee Rice still only ran 2/3 of the routes for Kansas City. Until that gets to like 80-90%, I'm not in on Rashee Rice as like an every week wide receiver too. Now, are you starting him with all the bye weeks, this horrible, horrible bye week situation this week? Are you starting him in 12-team leagues? Yes. Yes, you are. I'm just saying that he's not going to be targeted on 45% of his routes like he was last week. That's just not happening.
Matthew, you agree?
Yeah, I buy that. Look, I mean, I'm at wide receiver 24, even in a week in which there are six teams on a bye, and even after you've taken out all the guys from the Thursday night game as well. So, yeah, I mean, I am as a wide receiver 3. He's a high upside, but certainly there is some risk with Rashee Rice. I like the talent. I guess my take is that if somebody is going to emerge as a go-to wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes, I like Rashee Rice the best of the lot. Like, I probably Rice, then Justin Watson, and then you get down to, like, oh, good Lord. But yeah, I don't disagree with Denny's take. By the way, a very festive Denny Carter. Did you yes. notice the tinsel yeah. behind him?
Yes.
Very festive.
Looks like
so
he's
much. My wife brought out all the Christmas stuff, and I'm decked out for a whole month. I mean, it's December 1st. I'm going to have this stuff up for 4 weeks.
Yeah, your halls are decked.
There's a lot going on in this visual of Denny. It's like he's about to give a lecture about Methuselah, but have it be Christmas themed.
Yeah. Welcome to Denny's good. TED Talk.
On Rashee Rice, I think his problem is that he's just not a very refined route runner. Mm. But I think the way they used him against the Raiders, just kind of more almost as a gadget player in some ways, just getting it to him in space, letting him use his athleticism and speed take over. Hopefully they can do that going forward. Denny, I was devastated to see my son, Pat Freiermuth, on the negative regression side of your article after he broke out now that he's been freed from the reign of Matt Canada, but you weren't impressed with his route participation rates.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and this is a whole like process nerdy thing, and you guys know this. Like, if a guy's not out there running a lot of routes and getting by, getting away with it, you might say, like Freiermuth did last week against the Bengals, it just makes you a little bit hesitant to go in. Now, 12-team leagues, you're probably starting the Muth, okay? And it's important, by the way, we talked about this on the Roto World Football Show on Thursday. Folks want to check that out. The MOF, the M-O-F, middle of the field, is now being explored by the Steelers now that Matt Canada is out of the picture. And that's huge for a guy like Pat Freiermuth who runs his routes in that area. But again, he's just not out there running a ton of routes. The Cardinals are a pretty good matchup. I just want to pump the brakes a little bit on Freiermuth as like an elite play.
Muth loves the moth, is what Denny is saying. By the way, in Australia, we actually say route, not route, but I'm going to say route for everyone.
You're already becoming more American.
I like Denny doing this to indicate the middle of the field. It's like, I don't know, he was like stirring something.
I got it very clearly, the message about man middle of the field.
He's churning butter over there, is what Denny's doing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Much better. I am at tight end six this week, again, with all the guys on bye, and I like the matchup against Arizona as well. So, tight end is such a wasteland. I understand what you're saying. I don't know that I would say he's an elite tight end. I don't think he's in the he's not in the Kelce, Kittle, Hockenson range.
But do I think he's
very viable? Do I think if you grabbed him off the waiver wire or you've been holding on to him, do you have a starting tight end in fantasy the rest of the way? I do. So that's what I would say. And certainly this week I'm as a top 10 play. It's tight end six for me.
Are you starting him over Taysom, Matthew?
He's right there. I mean, Taysom drives me crazy. Like, Taysom shouldn't even be
that actually
like,
really bothered you.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. He probably doesn't have as much touchdown upside as Taysom Hill, but he's like, he's right there. Like, Taysom and Freiermuth are sort of right there in that kind of 6-7 range.
If Olave is out, I think I'd go Taysom.
I think that's fair. I don't have an issue with that particular call. So,
Denny, how about a more positive regression choice for this weekend?
It sounds a little funny after he had a big game on Thanksgiving, but I think Christian Watson still has some positive regression coming his way. He's a guy who has been running really cold, like per every receiving metric this season. And part of that is because Jordan Love had been so bad on deep throws, right? On even, especially to the middle of the field, the muff again. And Christian Watson is going to benefit from Jordan Love's improved downfield throwing, which we've seen over the past 2 weeks. I think he'll continue to do that. Does he have a fantasy floor? I don't know. Maybe not. Okay. We're talking about a guy who is a wide receiver three, kind of a boom bust guy, but the amount of air yards he's seeing, he saw 50% of the team's air yards on Thanksgiving against Detroit. That's enormous. If he can keep up that sort of receiving profile, he does have crazy upside going forward. And I do think this week the Packers will be forced to throw quite a bit against Kansas City.
Matthew, how about a positive pick for you?
I'll go with Terry McLaurin. I noticed you mentioned my guy, Scary Terry, in the in your column there, Denny. Appreciate that as well. Look, since week three, McLaurin has scored one touchdown on 87 targets. One touchdown. So there's got to be some positive touchdown regression coming for a receiver that is this talented on a team that continues to throw the way they do. 38% of the team's air yards over the last 3 weeks for McLaurin. Second place on the team is Jahan Dotson with 14%. So they're taking shots to him deep. They're trying to involve him. It just hasn't happened yet. But he's too talented. They throw too much. They're playing the Dolphins here. I don't think they'll move him around so that he won't see a ton of Ramsey as well. He's actually been fairly matchup-proof throughout his career as well. He's too good of a wide receiver, and this offense throws too often for him to be – and I don't want to say this bad because he's been fine, but he just hasn't been great, especially when you think about how much this offense throws. You know, with Sam Howell, one of the league leaders in passing yards, you'd be like, well, shouldn't McLaurin have been up higher? And you're seeing, like, why is Jamison Crowder catching the ball? What's Diami Brown and Byron Pringle doing out there? So, anyway, I believe positive regression is coming for Terry McLaurin. Number 17 on the field, number one in your heart.
Right, exactly. And you got to believe that even though McLaurin's receiving profile is a little down this year as far as, like, his target commanding skills, yes, pun intended, those things are down. But you got to believe that Miami's going to have a big lead here. I mean, that Dolphins offense is going to destroy Washington. Sorry, Matthew. And that will lead to a ton of passing volume, I think, for the Commanders.
No doubt.
Good pun, Denny. I like the pun.
Yeah.
Very good. Yep.
Denny, always a pleasure. Really appreciate you bringing the Christmas spirit to the show today. Keep doing that every Friday, and we will talk to you next week as well.
Yeah. Get back in that phone booth. Start getting some more viewers for us. Pull your Aaron Rodgers. There you go. Thank you very much, Denny.
You can catch Denny for his live fantasy football Q&A right after Happy Hour, 1 p.m. Eastern time on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. We're taking our first break. When we're back, we're going up to the Bud Light Bar. What's on tap for the weekend with the matchups at the highest point totals right after this.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes plays at Lambeau for the first time when the Chiefs battle the Packers. Sunday, 7 Eastern, of course, on NBC and Peacock. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL. Nothing is as easy to enjoy as a Sunday full of football and a fridge full of beer, but these are the games we're locking in on. They got the highest point totals going into the weekend. And guys, we will start right there with the Dolphins traveling to play the Commanders. The over-under is 49.5 in this game. Miami obviously favored by 9.5 points. So as we got the news at the top of the show, Matthew, that it sounds like Devon Achan will play, do you just throw him right back in your lineup, or is this a wait and see with him?
I don't think you're going to have a choice there. You see it there on my screen in terms of, you know, Howell and Tua are both top 10 plays there. And so you can check out my ranks on, if you're just listening, check out my ranks on rotoworld.com for free in terms of this. But most of the guys, I think, most of the obvious guys in this game, I think you're starting. We expect a ton of points here. I'm Achane at running back 21. Just and like as we're getting positive reports to your point, NFL Network reporting this morning, I hadn't updated my ranking. I updated my rankings last night after the game, but prior to that news that Achane is definitely playing, and so the running back 21 was a little bit of a hedge because, but I'll probably move him up there. Yeah, I just think the upside on Achane in a high scoring game. I just don't know how you bench him, especially in a week with six teams on a bye. Since week 9, Commanders give up the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs. They've allowed at least 90 rushing yards to running backs in 3 of the last 4 games again since week 9. And so Achane, who's had at least 21 fantasy points in every game that he's gotten 10 touches or more, just feels like he's just too big upside and they're going to want to get him going.
I think so. And he's probably the one guy in the league where he can get 9 touches and you can feel okay about what he's going to do with them. So with the matchup, which is not very imposing, I think that with all those teams on a bye, you're probably going to have to start Achane.
And I get the hesitation because the last time I started him, he played like 1 snap and then he came out again. He gets hurt again. Like, and I get that. Welcome to football. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, welcome to fantasy football. Like, any player could get hurt on any play. Like, I think you just, if you got Achane, I think you're rolling with him.
And let's not overlook, Mostert's battling some things, too.
Yeah, sure.
Mostert hasn't been full go at practices week after week, so they're going to have to split this up no matter what between these guys.
Do you think it's going to be a three-headed monster?
Right. That's kind of why, is it Jeff Wilson now getting a 30% or more of that pie, I think is the real question, too.
Yep.
The positives are is that the Commanders are so bad that they all should be actually fine, and then maybe then on Monday we'll be able to say, like, okay, now we know sort of know what this backfield looks like.
Jay, you think this lives up to the shootout expectations it has? Because there is some risk here that it's just a blowout and kind of turns into a clock-grinding game instead. 49.5 is a lot.
I think that the Miami passing game is just so explosive and that the Washington Commanders defense, since losing Sweat, it was already bad and now they've lost Sweat and Chase Young off that pass rush. They're just drawing dead. They've just got absolutely no hope of containing a team like Miami. So I think that Miami are going to score at will through the air, and I think that Howell is good enough to be able to play from behind and put up points himself, so I do expect that this will be very high scoring.
By the way, and this is the first game that they'll have without Jack Del Rio, their defensive coordinator, who they let go of after the Thanksgiving game. But by the way, Ron Rivera is coaching the defense. Like, he's calling the plays. When was the last time Ron Rivera actually called defensive plays? It's been a long time.
Let Ron cook.
I mean, we'll see, but I don't know how well this is going to go, to be perfectly
probably
honest.
Probably not well as well, because also if you could choose one game to not make your return, it would probably be this
one against Mike McDaniel. Who's had extra time because they played the Friday game, so he's had extra time to prepare
about additional
game.
Rest as well on top of all these elements. Yeah, the Commanders might be in trouble.
This is dicey. But to answer your question, Connor, I do, because I will say, for as bad as the defense has been, the offense has moved the ball, despite the fact that it's a bad offensive line, despite the fact they've constantly been in negative game scripts, and you sort of know what's coming, and that they're going to be pass happy. Like, give Sam Howell credit, give Eric Bieniemy credit. They have moved the ball. They've involved a bunch of different players, and so yes, I think it'll be junk time. I think the Dolphins win. I think they cover, but I do think the Commanders will move the ball and 49.5. I think the over hits.
Yep. Sam Howell's kind of setting up through the Matt Schaub of his era. Feels like it, doesn't it?
Mm.
Probably not quite the guy, but moves the ball.
Nah, I like Sam Howell. He's a future Hall of Famer.
People like Matt Schaub.
There you go. Fair enough.
Our next one here, Niners 3 points favorites against the Eagles. The over-under pretty similar in this one, 48 points. And Jay, obviously we have a lot of top fantasy players in this one. Any concern for DeAndre Swift against that 49ers front?
A little bit of concern about his efficiency. Arik Armstead's been on the injury report, but looks like he is going to play. So the Niners are at full health. They're fully rested. They've surely been thinking about this game since January of last season. But I just think that the Eagles, with their skill position players, with Goddard out, and look, Goddard is actually practicing today, but I would expect he's probably still not going to play because he hasn't gotten a full practice in yet since his injury. This Philadelphia offense is just so concentrated to 3 guys. We talked about this yesterday. It's it's Smith, Swift, and AJ Brown. And so I think that all those guys are just going to get there through volume. Swift, maybe he's not efficient on the ground, but I think he'll add work in the passing game too.
Well, but my concern is that he just hasn't been used in the passing game nearly as much recently, right? Single-digit target share in 3 of the past 4 games. It's a brutal matchup against the Niners. Last 4 weeks, they allow the second fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. And in fact, every running back they faced in that stretch has been held to under 60 total yards. And that includes Zach Charbonnet, Rashad White, Travis Etienne. So not exactly like, you know, bad running backs. I mean, you know, White's not super efficient, but he's gotten there. I think what you're hoping for is that Swift falls into the end zone. He's had at least one goal to go carry now in four straight games. And so I'm nervous about him, but for our purposes, I don't know that there's anything you can do about it. I'm at running back 11 because of his offense and we're in a six teams on a bye week. You have to start him.
Yeah, and people also, it's gone a bit too far with the Eagles. Like, the Eagles are really freaking good. And yes, he's the number one lead running back behind that offensive line with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback. You just got to start him every week.
All right, our final one here, Broncos at Texans. Yes, the Broncos at Texans, a high point total, 47.5. It's been better sledding for the Broncos offense recently. We know what C.J. Stroud and that offense can do as well. And Matthew, is Samaje Perine actually gaining a bigger role in this backfield like we thought in the preseason that never truly came to light, or is there some things going on here that are a bit of a fluke?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So, listen, the positives are that he had 7 rushes last week, which was a season high. And, you know, they use him in the passing game as well. But, like, I don't think – if you look at the last two games, like, 2 weeks ago, like, a lot of his usage against Minnesota came on that last drive, like, where they were just – you know, they were in the two-minute drill and they were hustling up as well. You know, and then last week he got the touchdown. Okay, fine. But his last game with more than 8 touches was week 5. Jaleel, I feel like on the depth chart, he's past Jaleel McLaughlin, right? It's Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, Jaleel McLaughlin is how I think that. But he's still clearly behind Javonte Williams. I'm at running back 30. In a week in which 6 teams are on bye, I'm at running back 30. I think it's just, I know you see the box score and you're like, oh, 13 points back-to-back, he could be usable. But, like, he was out there in a lot of my leagues this week, and I didn't put a bid on him.
Yeah, he's extremely game script dependent. He's going to need the Broncos to be down, to be throwing constantly. Otherwise, I just don't see the upside for him. Javonte's clearly the guy in this backfield.
And they like McLaughlin and Williams in the passing game as well, again. Yeah. So it's just like he got bailed out by one big drive and then a touchdown last week. So my running back 30, I'm fine. Like, if you're desperate in a game in which we expect the Broncos to pass a lot, he could be semi-usable, like as an RB3, but not feeling the same hype that we saw in the preseason. No, I think it's a little fluky.
That'll do it for What's on Tap, presented by Bud Light. Easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. We're taking our last break. When we're back, last call. Jay and I got pickup lines for Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Berry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We'll close out the week here with some pickup lines for Matthew as you take a look at the matchups with the highest spreads. Jay, what do you got for Mr. Berry over here?
Yeah, what do you got for me?
What better way to woo you, Matthew, than with Tim Boyle?
Yes!
Timmy,
yes.
As he's known.
Yes.
We continue the South Park theme of this week. Tim Boyle under 179.5 passing yards. What a great way to lead into the weekend. Look, the total in this game is 33.5,
right,
which is not great at Jets Falcons. So not going to be a lot
is
of yards.
Is that the lowest in NFL history?
I think when who was the wide receiver on Denver who played quarterback?
Hinton.
Yeah, that's the one.
Kendall Hinton.
Yeah, I think that was the lowest. But yeah, okay. This is pretty low.
Where did he
low.
Rank on your quarterback rankings that week?
Yeah.
I think like 27 or something. Because he had some rushing upside.
Didn't really maximize it.
Yeah.
I don't think Tim Boyle was going to maximize his passing upside in this one. So here is my angle here. 179.5. He needed to throw the ball 38 times last week to get to 179. So he didn't even go over. And I think a lot of the game script that would see him go over this, I don't think he's there for the second half of the game.
Right.
Because either they're winning and then they're running the ball, or they're losing, in which case I think Tim Boyle has a huge chance to get benched. Also, he got sacked 7 times last week behind the worst offensive line in football. He's also an injury risk. I think there's just a lot of things that play into Tim Boyle not going over 179.5.
I don't think there's one I could cook up that's better than Jay's after all that. Yeah. As somebody who watches a lot of Jets football, I tend to agree. All right, here you go, Matthew.
I'll tell you this, for somebody, because you have to watch, it's your job.
It is absolutely, it's
right.
A real.
They don't pay you enough. I don't know what you make.
It's not enough.
But they don't pay you. Whatever it is you make, it's not enough.
It's something to think about.
I'm just letting you know, SNY, give this man a raise.
Yeah, I couldn't get the Emmy, but I'd take a raise.
Yeah, exactly. You should have won the Emmy just for that. Yeah.
Right?
That should have been, it literally,
keep
your,
my morale
Emmy,
high.
Your Emmy submission reel should have been like you this.
Yep.
Just you, video of you watching the Jets.
Bump him up to 5 mil from 4. Come on, SNY.
Yeah. How about Brandon Ayuk over 62.5 receiving yards? This is all I need to give you on this one. Philly, bottom three defense and explosive pass rate. San Francisco, top three offense and explosive pass rate. This is we've talked about it all week. This is a great matchup for Brock Purdy. I think it's the best matchup for Brandon Ayuk.
I love that. I think it also could be a big Kittle game. There might be some rain here. You could see a turnover. So I'm going with Tim Boyle.
Yes.
Timmy.
Yes. Come home
betting
with me
under
and Timmy.
On a Jets bet is kind of like, I'm taking you home, Jay. Come on.
Yes, we'll bring Timmy with us.
Sorry, Denny. Sorry, Connor. Listen, it's closing time. You don't have to go home. But you can't stay here. For Connor, for Jay, for Denny, and Kira, peace out.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.